Hello, welcome to Culture Shots. This is Jim Raman. Today's program marks World Radio Day with interviews exploring potential of radio as a tool for furthering human rights. First up, Marilal speaks to a member of our own Culture Shots team, Mariam Bhatti, as she tells us about her experience representing Ireland at a conference on migration issues and how she used media to process her experience there.
Hello, and today we have Mariam Bhatti on the programme. Hello, Mariam.
Hi, Mari.
We're going to be speaking about the conference you recently attended, the People's Global Action on Migration, Development and Human Rights. It was in Geneva. And so were you representing a particular country at the conference or organisation?
Oh, yes, Mari. I've been dying to tell people about that. It was a lifetime experience for me. I went to Geneva on the 29th to the 2nd of December in 2011 to represent Domestic Workers Action Group, which is under Migrants' Rights Centre Ireland. I was selected to go and represent the organisation, and also I was representing Ireland as a country because Migrants' Rights Centre were the only organisation that sent a delegate from Ireland.
Wow, so, and you're originally from South Africa. That's quite interesting.
It was a lifetime experience, really.
Wow.
That I'll never forget. I met a lot of people from different countries. I met people really that were so amazing. I'm always somebody who is always open to learning and to sharing what I have. So that was a great place I could ever be.
And there were workshops and seminars there also. What were they? What were the kind of themes of the workshops and seminars?
The conferences were starting from 9 a.m. until like 9 p.m. in the evening, and they were really intense. And there were so many workshops. They spoke about strategies for ratifying the ILO convention, which was a convention to recognize domestic work as work globally. So there was a lot of talks around that. There was a lot of talks around migration issues. Whether what migration really does, whether is it really that bad or is it seen otherwise, and also a call for regularizing undocumented migrant status globally, not only in Ireland, all over the world. There were talks about development as to how migration can be used as a development tool, not only in the countries where migrants go to, in the countries they live as well. What could they do with, the money they earn in the countries they are to develop their communities that they come from? So development.
Okay, so the money may be sent back.
Yes.
From the.
Yeah. Instead, like they were talking about, for example, issues like instead of families just maybe taking the money and just using it, what could they do in the community? That would give a good, really, example, something to be proud of for having these people that have sacrificed so much and left the country. And at least at the end of the day, they should have something to show that this is what they did with the money they worked.
Okay, So kind of looking at maybe some of the pros and some of the good things about migration as well.
There were also human rights issues, really, how people were being treated in different countries. Yeah, issues like those.
Okay. And you've been working with the migrants' rights for quite a while now. And did you find there was anything in the conference that was significant or new?
Oh, yeah, there was really a lot that I learned. I learned that it's something that I've always known, but it was kind of emphasized there that migrants really sacrifice a lot to be where they are today. You know, you can imagine leaving your country, what it does. But it's not only about migrants coming to Ireland. I mean, all over we have our own migrants. I would say our own now, meaning as Irish migrants that are leaving Ireland, going to other countries. There is a lot that they sacrifice, you know, to be where they are today. But then one of the issues that I noticed was that that made me proud of being in Ireland was that Ireland was one of the countries where migrants were really treated not that bad compared to what I heard. They're horrible stories, and that made me really proud of Ireland, Irish people, and being part of it. And also the another issue that I noticed that I had always thought was there, but I had never really seen as an issue, was the brain drain that migration does to the countries where these people live, you know, the countries of origin.
Okay.
You'll take, for instance, people leaving to go to developed countries mm-hmm. from the third world to go and work there, maybe as professionals, because there's a huge demand for them in those countries. But then when you go back to the countries where they come from, you see the gap that it causes,
yeah.
the gap of young people, the youth that are no longer there in the country, that are no longer part of the community or part of the development or part of making this community a better place. They are all gone. They are abroad. Trying to make a better life. So it does a really big...
And do those people ever come back to country of origin or, I mean...
Sometimes. I mean, a lot of people would certainly want to go back home. There is no place that is better than home.
Mm.
But it all depends on whether the opportunities are there. Because a lot of people would want to be home. If there were jobs, if there were educational opportunities, people would want to be there. But then the issue about the brain drain is not the only, it is a negative side of it, but there's also a good thing that when migrants go and work outside their country, they do send a lot back home. Say they do send money to develop their countries. They do help their families to be able to get education, to be able to live, at least be better than the way they lived before. Some of them would have lived below the line of poverty, but after they have family members that have gone to other countries to work, they get to be at a level where they at least live a normal life. So that is a positive thing about it. But the solidarity really around migrants and around some countries that are really welcoming and nice, that was really good, something that I really took with me.
Later on in the program, you had an interview with Thomas Moore from the Netherlands. And he was talking about his involvement with community radio.
Yeah.
So, but you've also been interviewed on mainstream media and on community radio. Do you feel there is any difference or any
opportunity? Absolutely, Marie, there is a difference. Usually, I did notice that the mainstream media, whenever they're making a show or a program, it's usually... they want to take out the best or say the horrible stories to be able to get more people to watch or to listen.
Like
the
to dramatize. Yeah.
Also to sell the newspapers, whatever it can be. But those good things that people do sometimes are seen as boring and, you know, it's the usual stuff. So why should we really go out there and make the headlines about something good, you know? But I think it's very important. The positive things, people need to know that. People need to know the good things that people are doing.
Absolutely.
And I would think that it does educate, media does educate,
mm-hmm.
it does entertain, it should bring people together, it should be able to change people's mind, but not for the bad, but change the people's mind to think in a good way, you know, that's what I think. And also people do want to hear good stories about everybody, including people that are excluded. You know, think of what a good difference it can make to hear a good story about a traveler woman, a good story about, say, a Romanian or a migrant or disabled people or women that are so excluded. So we want to hear those good things about those people that are excluded. That is what I don't see a lot in the mainstream media.
Okay.
But with the community radio, it is very familiar, which is a very good practice.
Yeah, so it's a tool. Do you think it's a powerful tool?
I think it is, yes. It is a powerful tool for human rights, which is why in that interview that I did with Thomas Moore, he spoke a lot about how they got to educate the people that worked, the migrants that didn't know anything about their rights. So they decided that they would study the constitution of that country and then educate the migrants about it. You can see how powerful that can be.
Oh, that would be a very powerful tool, definitely. Is there any sort of thing that, you know, is on your heart about, you know, when you were thinking about the conference, or was there any particular message that it drove home to you?
Yeah, there was. After I was told I was going to Geneva, and when I was at the airport and I was on a plane, I sat there and I thought to myself, just a year ago, I was this African girl that had come to work in Ireland as a domestic worker, and I had no idea that a year later I would be going to a global conference in Geneva, in Switzerland, where I'd never dreamt I would be to represent a big group of people. I was there on behalf of other migrants, on behalf of other domestic workers, and I was there to represent Ireland as a country, and I thought to myself, I was so humbled by that, you know, and I was proud in the way that I also had an opportunity to be able to learn, because I'm that kind of a person that grabs any opportunity, any learning opportunity that I can get. As long as it's good learning, I do grab the opportunity. So to other people that are in the excluded communities or groups, they shouldn't think low of themselves. They should just know that they are in this community, take part, be the part of Ireland that you want Ireland to be today.
Wow. And on that note, such a positive note, we'll finish up. Thank you very much, Miriam.
Thank you to Mari and Miriam. Next up is a fun song. This is Despedida Siska with Ya Es Hora de Bela. That was Despedida Siska with Ya Es Hora de Bela. Next up, we shall hear Mariam's interview with Thomas Muru.
My name is Mariam Bhatti. I am doing a FITEC Level 4 intercultural radio course, and I'm in Geneva to participate in a conference called People's Global Action on Human Rights, Migration Development. Among the interesting people that I have found here is Thomas Moore, who is very, very interesting and is going to tell us about what he does. And maybe to start with, introduce yourself, please.
My name is Thomas Moore. I am an African-American living in the Netherlands. And we started an organization 7 years ago because we saw a need in our community to educate our people about their history and about their rights. So we set up an organization called the African Roots Movement, which is a Pan-African organization. We were the first Pan-African organization in Holland. Before that, all of the African different groups had organizations, but they only worked within their communities. And we sought to say we had to move out. We had to make allies in the other sectors, you know, because we were new and we had specialties in the African community, but we were lacking in the skills of negotiation and how to present your issues to the officials. So we wanted to learn. So first, when we set up the organization, the first year we were busy with studying the Dutch Constitution. To understand the laws and what was our rights and what we thought should be our rights. So we started with that, and after that year, then we went to the public by giving meetings to educate the people about their rights, about for undocumented, but also documented people, because we had a lot of documented people that didn't know their rights. They were being abused in the housing sector. For instance, they were paying double what everybody else was paying.
Okay. And Tom, for how many days have you been here, and why are you here in Geneva?
Well, I'm in here in Geneva with a coalition of organizations because we want to get all of the organizations to push for one specific thing, and that is regularization for all of the people that are in Europe now.
And what is your role in,
Well, our role is to push the African diaspora issues to the front.
Okay. It seems migration is on everybody's lips nowadays. I don't know if it's only on migrants' lips or everybody. But
no.
What do you think? Is it really that serious or is it that bad?
Yes. It's on the government's mind every day. They go to sleep with this issue on their mind because lately in Europe, after September 11, the right-wing nationalist thinking people, I would say, they saw an opportunity. They say that we are putting the country in danger of terrorism because they say a lot of these migrants are terrorists, especially the Muslims. Because, see, we have a lot of Muslims, like Turkish, Morocco, and also from Africa, you know, like Somali. You know, we have lots of Somali immigrants. We have a lot of people from Sudan, from Ethiopia, and they're treated like lepers, you know, because they come from a country that's in turmoil, so they think, oh, the terrorists are coming and asking for asylum, and then they're going to attack us. This is what the right wing did, and they dominate the media. In Holland, they did a study, and they say the right wing leader gets more press than the prime minister.
I find that very interesting, and the fact that I know that the other part of migration is being ignored. I think there may be people from Europe and the U.S. going to Africa and Asia instead. And I don't know if that is can
yes.
be a problem as well, or if it can provoke this much.
Yeah, but, you know, this is something that we are also bringing to their attention, is that they are starting wars in the Middle East. But most of these people are migrating into African countries, like Lebanese. The Ghanaians have about 150,000 Lebanese. They have Indians. They have Chinese. They have Dutch. They have Americans. But they never get credit for absorbing these people because Fortress Europe, they know, you know?
Yeah.
So they can't get there, but they can go into Africa and be accepted.
And what are you thinking of the conference so far?
Yes, I'm learning a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I realized one thing, that the minorities in Europe have woken up to the fact that they have to stand up for their rights. You know, nobody gives you your rights.
That's very true.
It never has happened. In every situation, it has been civil society that forced the issue of rights, like Gandhi, like Martin Luther King. These people had to organize their people to stand up and say, okay, we want this. We have to come up with one voice.
You mentioned yesterday to me that you are working, you have a radio station, you're working in a radio station. Would you like to tell us a bit about that?
It's called Transnational Migrant Radio. And we talk about migrant issues. We try to educate them about what the political situation is, what laws are coming that's going to affect migrants, and also to hear from the migrants, you know, to give them a chance to voice their problems. And, then they can come to us. And then we help them to find the right place to help them, you know. Like when you see women are here working and the man is back home taking care of the children.
Yeah.
And I hear from the Filipinos, I hear from the Latinos, from the South Americans, from the Africans. It's the same thing. They're supporting two lives. And that's difficult.
It is very hard work.
Yeah, it's hard work, you know, to support two lives. You have to live where you are, and then you have to send money home. And we don't get credit for that. But, you know, I learned something today from the lady priest from India. We live in a technology driven time. So we all just about have mobile phones with cameras. So one thing I would probably say from a technical point of view is when you're working in some house or factory, take when nobody's around, take photos of where you work, so that you have some kind of record.
Yeah, because that's what we can advise people that we have to advise now.
Yeah.
My case, I didn't do it that time, but I have to do this for people that are being exploited now.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
These are the things they can do.
Yeah.
Okay, it was a pleasure talking to you today.
Mm-hmm.
And if people would like to know more about African Roots and also about the radio station, how can they contact you?
Well, with African Roots Movement, our email address is africanrootsmovement1word@hotmail.com.
Okay.
And the radio you can find on the internet. And the radio is called Salto Radio. If you Google Salto Radio, then a page will appear.
And how is it spelled, Salto?
It's a Dutch word. It's Suriname word. And it's SATES.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm sure a lot of people will find this information and talking to you really helpful.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that I could be of help.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and thank you to our guests, Maryam Bhatti and Thomas Moo. I am Jim Raman for Culture Shots. Tune in every week, 6:30 to 7 on Near FM. To listen back to past episodes, simply log on to our website www.nearpodcast.org. Thank you.
The content and views expressed in this program are those of the participants alone and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of Pubble, the Office for the Promotion of Migrant Integration, or the European Commission.
This project is co-financed by the European Commission under the European Integration Fund and is supported by the Office for the Promotion of Migrant Integration in the Department of Justice and Equality and Pubble.